Welcome to the Kingdom Crossroads Podcast with Pastor Robert Thibodeau. Using an interview format, Pastor Bob will introduce you to men and women whose ministries are impacting this world with the gospel, and will also provide commentary and insight on end-time prophetic events we now see happening in the news. Now here is Pastor Robert Thibodeau.
Welcome to the Kingdom Crossroads Podcast. You know, many people struggle with the idea of speaking from stage or even on video like this. You know, they worry about how they're going to look or what they'll sound like or what they can talk about.
Well, my guest today is Brendan Kumarasamy. Brendan, did I say that name right?
You could just say Brendan from Master Talk, Robert.
But there we go. Okay, that'll work. Okay, Brendan from Master Talk. Brendan, oh man. You have to check out his YouTube videos. Master Talk is the place where it's at on YouTube. His videos go through in detail, but in such easy, simplistic a way to understand and grasp the concepts that he shares. I'm telling you, folks, he is helping people around the world master the idea of speaking from stage, speaking on video, anything to do with communication and communicating your ideas. He is the one you need to follow. I subscribe to his YouTube channel, and I binge watch his videos all the time. Brendan, welcome to the Kingdom Crossroads Podcast. You are doing an awesome job, brother. You are out there rocking it.
It's very kind of you, Robert. Thanks for having me. It's an honor to be here.
Amen. Now, Brendan, other than that brief information I just shared, just share with us in your own words, who is Brendan from Master Talk?
Absolutely. So like you mentioned, it's a YouTube channel I started to help some people out with public speaking. And how that started, Robert, when I was in university, I used to do these things called case competitions. So think of it like professional sports, but for nerds. So other guys my age were playing football, soccer, basketball, things I never really understood. Is it like a ball with air or something? So what I did with my time instead was I would compete in presentations. And that was my life for 3 years. Presented 500 times, coached dozens of people on public speaking. And then by the time I graduated from university and I got what I wanted, which was a corporate job, and I guess in corporate Canada, in my case, I'm based in Montreal, kind of just asked myself, what do I do with my life now? Is there a greater purpose to what I'm trying to achieve here? And I was fortunate. Part of it was luck, but I realized that the content on public speaking was really bad on the internet, and more particular on YouTube. Yeah. So I wanted to make a difference there. So I started making videos in my mother's basement, didn't think much of it. But then the YouTube channel started growing a lot faster than I thought it would. And here we are today.
Oh, amen. Amen. How did you come up with the idea for Master Talk, though?
Yeah, absolutely. So for the channel, so the name, I got lucky once again. My best friend came up with the name. He kind of just said, why don't you just call it Master Talk, you know, for talk and mastering. And I was like, is that name even available? Like, I typed it. Nobody took it. I was like, genius. This is I was like, doo-doo. And then I bought him like dinner or something. But that was case closed. For the idea, though, the recommendation that I have for people is too many people ask themselves this very general question that I don't particularly like, which is, what are you passionate about? The issue with that question, Robert, is it doesn't work for everyone. So for those of you who are listening to right now and haven't answered that question, this advice does not apply to you. You have your passion. Go do it. The issue, though, the rest of us, the other 90%, don't have a passion. They don't have direction. Right? Sure. They don't know where to go. So instead, what I recommend is the next question, which is more important to ask. And the question is, what does the world need you most to do right now, and why? When I was 12 years old, Robert, the answer to that question wasn't building a YouTube channel. I thought that was for rich kids. I didn't know what that was. Posted videos? What is this, like some kind of creative project? I don't have time for this. No, the answer when I was 12 was get a corporate job and feed your mother. She's hungry. So make a minimum wage, get her out of that situation. And it's kind of weird and sad, but at the same time, it's very motivating. It wasn't build the next rocket ship or something in space. So I worked really hard, got an amazing job in accounting at Pricewaterhouse. And then I just asked myself, okay, I've got this great job now. What does the world need me most to do now? And then that question, the new answer was, get a job in consulting. That sounds way more interesting. You know, all these problems and solving all these businesses. Plus, I was doing so many competitions in business. I was really excited. So I studied again. I went back to work. I got interviews again, and I ended up getting the job. Then after that, I said, okay, what does the world need me most to do right now? And I realized in that moment that I was one of the top speech coaches in the world and also the youngest speech coach in the world, because I started coaching CEOs when I was 23. So I had this unique opportunity where I could inspire 15, 17, 13, you know, or, you know, people in their 60s also, but that specific demographic at the beginning, because most speech coaches on YouTube are really old. And by old, I mean like in comparison to like 13 to like, you know, 60 or 70, you know. So I'm just like, oh, this is not going to inspire 15-year-olds to get communicating. So I found that thing. So it wasn't what I was passionate about, but rather making the decision to do something. Decisions are always more important than passions. Yeah. And here's the punchline. If I never made the decision to be an accountant, it never would have led to the decision to be a technology consultant, which never would have led to Master Talk. If I never did those two things, I wouldn't have the expertise to even talk to you right now. Mm.
That's awesome, because one decision leads to the next, which leads to the next, which may not even relate back to the first decision other than the fact that you made a decision, right?
Exactly.
Amen. Amen. How can we identify that one key idea that, like what you just described, that will spark action? How can our listeners take action on that, identifying that idea?
Right. And it's definitely a challenging process. So what I recommend doing, there's a couple of ways of doing this. Here's the one that I used. I called it the process of elimination. So if you separate life into three categories, wealth, health, and relationships, I generally recommend starting with wealth. Because if you got a bit of money in your pocket, it's going to be much easier to take care of yourself and your family and the relationships around you, whether those relationships are friendships or romantic ones. So the first thing I always recommend people to do is figure out what kind of career you can do that is best aligned with your skill set. And the best way to figure that out is what I call the process of elimination. It is a lot more easier and empowering to say no to the things you don't want to do. So in my case, when I looked at that list when I was 12, which is very bizarre, I kind of said, well, I'm lucky. I'm pretty good at math, and I'm also really bad at everything else. So I'm not going to be a doctor, not going to be a physicist, not going to be a professional sports guy, not going to be a plumber, and et cetera. I went on. And now, with all of the elimination of choices, now you're left with a short list of yeses and maybes. So some of the items on that list for me was being an actuary, being an accountant, being a sales rep, and all that stuff. And then I landed on accountant. I never changed my mind for a decade until a couple of years ago. So the point that I want people to drive from that is you want to start saying no a lot more to the things you absolutely don't want to do. Like, for example, a good easy example, you either want kids or you don't, right? There's no in between. You can't sort of have them. Same thing with your career. You're either a numbers person or you probably want to be a musician a lot more than you want to be an accountant, or vice versa. Like, I don't see myself being a musician, whereas somebody else listening to me could say, I'd rather be a musician than an accountant. Gross numbers. It's not for me. But the point to this conversation is you need to make a decision. The people who lose are the people who just watch Netflix. Mm-hmm. It doesn't matter what you're doing as long as you're moving somewhere. And if you're moving somewhere, you never know where that ball will lead you. But if you're not moving the ball at all, you know exactly where it's going to lead you, which is the same spot where you started.
Oh, that's so true. That is so true. But when it comes to like individual needs, you know, how can we help our audience identify with their needs, maybe needs that they may not even be aware of yet, and then use that to communicate our needs in the process?
That's powerful. Okay, let me take this two routes. Okay, let me do one for presentations and one for life. That'll maybe add more clarity. So for presentations, the way that you find your key idea for your presentation is simple. You want to understand the following scenario. Let's say it's your last presentation ever. Okay. And after you presented, you died. I know this is morbid, but stay with me. And you get to present for 6 minutes, 60 hours. You can take as much time as you want. But your audience will only remember a sentence. They won't remember your name. They won't remember your title. They won't even remember your content. They'll just remember one sentence. What do you want the sentence to be?
Wow.
So for me, as you can probably tell, it's, I believe that anyone can master public speaking. I can sit here and talk to you for 3 hours, tell you all my tips, regurgitate all my YouTube videos onto you. But at the end of the day, there's one sentence that summarizes my life's work, it's that I fundamentally believe in this idea that anyone can master communication. If I can do it, you can too. Now, how do we apply that one key idea analogy to our lives? Because like you mentioned, you know, based on, you know, the needs that we're not really sure we have yet, we're still trying to navigate through all this. Here's one habit I can share with you that I do that nobody talks about. And no, it's not yoga. No, it's not meditation. No, it's not eating the right things. There's nothing wrong with that. But there's one thing that you need to prioritize. And that prioritization is the following. Habit. Ask yourself one hard question about life every single day. I guarantee you in 30 days, you will be a completely different human being. Let me get you started. What are you pretending not to know? If you had all the money in the world, how would you spend your time? If you are on your deathbed and you're 99 years old and you can go back to today and change one thing, what would you change or what would you do right now? Those are the types of questions. Or even better, here's one that'll really bring it home. If you died tomorrow, what would your funeral speech say about you? Or what would you want it to say about you? What should it be written word for word? The difference between me and everyone else, Robert, because remember, I started Mass Talk when I was 22, right? So as you can probably tell, I'm probably a bit wiser than most people in my age group. Why is that? Is it because I'm more special? Is it because I'm more important or unique? Not at all. It's because I wrote my funeral speech when I was 20.
Wow.
I went through all the hard questions about life, about religion, about society, about all of those things. Why is it that we need to get married, have 2.5 kids, a white picket fence, not 2 kids, Robert. We're supposed to have 2.5 kids, right? Get the numbers straight. And all those things. Why is that even true? Why are we doing all these things? And when you start to question everything, then you find the answers that you weren't looking for in the first place.
Yeah, that's awesome. That's awesome. So prioritizing our life. I mean, you have a phrase that just jumped out at me. Prioritize to maximize. Explain what that means.
Wow, you're very well researched, clearly. I was like, wow, I never got that one before. All right, so here's how it works, right? Prioritize to maximize means a couple of things. The number one thing it means is that most people don't understand that time is your most valuable asset. And always use younger people to remind yourself that. Kobe Bryant was a superstar. You know, he did all these amazing things and he tragically died at the age of 41. Same thing with Chadwick Boseman. He was the actor in Black Panther and he died at 43. They had so much more left to give. But they're also constant reminders that we don't know. The one variable we have no clue that we don't clearly understand is the amount of time that is remaining. It's like quicksand that's running up, but you don't know how slowly the sand is running out in the bottle, right? So with that knowledge in mind, with that understanding that time is a finite asset, how do we better optimize for it? If we're only going to live 4 decades, that shouldn't scare us, that should empower us, that should remind us that if there's something that we need to do in life, we better do it now. We better not wait.
Amen. That's right.
A couple of decades, we might as well get it sorted out now. So what does prioritize to maximize mean? It means prioritizing the things that you care about the most. And then if you have time for everything else, go for it. But make sure the things that you need to do in this world get done first. And there's an exercise Warren Buffett actually recommends that I'm a huge fan of. And the exercise is simple. Make a bucket list of the 20 things you want to do the most in the world. So you spend some time, you write the 20. Then after the exercise is over, pick 5 of those things. So you pick 5, the 5 most important ones. And then you take the other 15 things, you throw them in the garbage, you never look at them, and you just do those 5 things. What he basically says is chances are you won't have enough time in the world to even do those 5 things. So you better focus on them right away. So in my life, I only have a handful of priorities. It's actually less than 5. And one of them, as you could probably guess, is Master Talk. I believe I'm the only human being who's currently alive who can democratize the information on public speaking because of the decades of knowledge that I have. So I'm the only speech coach who's 24 who coaches like all of these CEOs, but I'm also the only one who's generous enough to do it because most people in my skill set who are better than me or just as good as me, they don't share their information for free. They make multi-six figures as a speech coach. They're not incentivized to make videos that I do. I don't make money off the YouTube channel. I do it because there's people who can't afford me that need me. So even if I can't do the rest of my priorities in life, I need to get Master Talk. As long as I get that done and I can die the greatest speech coach, people can learn from me forever. And I'll have, it's for me, that's mission accomplished, right? So that's how you prioritize your life. You focus on the one or two things that you are the person to do it for, in the same way that you started this amazing, you know, show and this network, rather, not even a show, like this huge network of people. You're the only person who could do that. No one else was going to step to the plate and say, let me start this network where there's 53 ministers across the country to do all that stuff. That was what you were supposed to do. And because you asked yourself a series of questions, you were able to lead your life towards that point. Everyone should be doing the same thing.
Amen. You know, one part I especially took away from one of your videos, I can't remember which one it was, but you talked about the endless gaze. And I was good at pauses, et cetera. I had a background in sales, but I never considered the endless gaze. I mean, that was awesome. Tell us how that can be used effectively in a presentation.
Right. Here's the beauty of the endless gaze, Robert, especially since you're married. The endless gaze does not just apply to public speaking. It applies to everything in your life. The friends that you have relationships with, your partners that you love, the children that you raise, the people that you go to church with, everything. Everything is connection. Everything is talking. Everything is communication. Everything's building relationships. Mm-hmm. That's why the endless gaze is so useful. Because what this does essentially is it makes you comfortable staring into people's eyes for very long periods of time. So what I do in my in-person workshops to drive this point home is I actually pause for 5 minutes. And then for that 5 minutes, I'm not going to do it here since we don't have that much time here, but usually what I do is I stare at everyone for a minute and I just keep going, or depending on how many people are in the room, just to prove my point. The reason why this is so effective is because when you pause for 3 or 5 seconds in a regular presentation, you're going to be so comfortable pausing. It's going to be easy for you to just stop and pause and keep going. Whereas if you didn't practice the endless gaze, you're going to pause and go, what does Robert think of me? Oh, I should keep talking again. Keep going. Right? So the exercise I have for people, especially those who have kids in the house or people that they love in the house, you know, I have a lot of technology executives that I coach, Robert, and I tell them to look at their wives in the eyes for 3 minutes straight. They can't even do that. And trust me, you know, they're scared, right? At the beginning, like, I can't do this. And trust me, they get pretty good results after, you know, whether it's in public speaking or all the other areas of their life. So I highly recommend the endless gaze.
Oh, yeah. That jumped right out. I mean, my background in sales, I was good at those awkward pauses. So can you think of any reason why you wouldn't want to do this? And I just sit back. I wouldn't say, I wouldn't say anything. And you see them, you know, 20, 30 seconds go by and they start shifting in their chair. Cause you know, he who speaks first loses is what they look at. And I've done sales for at this point in time, probably 6-7 years. I was just sitting there just looking at them. I guess you could have called it the endless gaze because I was just looking at him. You know? And he seemed squirming for a second. Look at his wife, say, what do you think? Should we get it? Yeah, let's go ahead. Okay. And it's, you know, sometimes 3-4 minutes is there, you know, flipping through papers and things like that. And then look up, see if I'm doing anything. And I'm just sitting there looking at him. Yeah. But that endless gaze, man, that video, when you talked about that, I was like, rocking it right there. Now, in several of your videos, you talk about the random word exercise. Can you explain how that works and give us an example?
Absolutely. So the random word exercise, Robert, essentially, it's the easiest way to skyrocket your communication skills. You essentially pick a random word in your house, could be camera or light bulb, and you create a presentation out of thin air, essentially. So, and what this does is it helps your mindset, but instead of just telling you about it, it's probably easier if I just demonstrate it. So why don't you just give me a random word, Robert?
Lamp.
Lamp, sure. As I'm walking down into my basement to close out the night, I can remember the small chills as I get downstairs and close out the day. But like any hardworking person, you know, my night doesn't end when the night strikes dawn, or night strikes dark, rather. But it ends when I'm done working on my tasks. So I turn on my amazing light and the lamp goes on. A lot of people take lamps for granted, Robert. They think it's some object in the house, but they don't realize that the electricity, the light that comes out of that lamp, is not just an invention, but a way of making our lives better. It allows us to read for longer periods at night, to work on the things that matter to us the most, and to shed a small glimmer of hope in a dark, dark, stormy night. And that's exactly why, in today's episode, or rather presentation, I'm going to talk about the power of lamps, not just for your everyday house, but how you can use the light in your lives to illuminate other people too. I just invented that kind of thing. I kind of botched a bit of the view. Thank you. So a couple of things I want to point out with this exercise. Three things. One, never compare yourself to Brendan. Okay? Don't compare yourself to me. I've done this 2,000 times, and I'm not exaggerating that number. I'm literally a slave on podcasts. I kind of have to do the exercise to be a bit credible.
Well, that's a fact, because it's taken us a while to get him scheduled on here.
Yeah, it's exactly. So that's one. Two, all I'm asking for is 5 minutes of your day. Not 5 hours, not 50 minutes, just 5 minutes. You pick one word five times. So five words, 1 minute each. Building, camera, tree, living room, wife, you're done. Right? That's it. If you do this for a year, you'll have done the exercise as many times as I have, which is pretty crazy if you think about it. Third thing, why the exercise matters. A lot of people are thinking, well, why am I talking about lamps for a minute? That's not my subject matter expertise. So let's break this down for people. If you can talk about lamps, if you can talk about a mattress, if you can talk about something super random and still come out on top, that presentation that you actually know something about won't be so scary anymore. In fact, the perception that you have of that presentation you used to be so scared of will suddenly become a joke.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, amen. Because you know it. Yeah, and you probably have given the presentation hundreds of times, if not in person, at least in your head.
Okay, absolutely.
Amen. Yeah. You know, that random word. When I was part of Toastmasters for a few years, and they had the table topics. You know,
right.
They didn't know what it was, and they'd say, okay, today's word is, you know, ink pen. And then it's the same thing. And you're like, oh, God, please don't pick on me today.
I used to abuse those exercises all well, because I'm a guest speaker now for Toastmaster clubs. So whenever I hear the word of the day, I literally start the presentation. I go ink pen.
You get a point every time you do it.
And they're like, wow, Brent is really good at this exercise. Just to kind of mess around.
So what if you're speaking on a topic that, for lack of a better phrase, really isn't all that interesting to most people? How can you make a memorable talk on something that could be perceived as boring? For example, your background in accounting and all that, you know, a lot of people are,
you know. You're already falling asleep when the show is, you're like, oh, what was
it's my show. That was an example, folks. But
yeah,
go ahead.
Absolutely. So what I said in that video, and clearly you really did your research, it's amazing. But the point that
I binge watch your stuff.
Yeah, you really did binge watch. It's very specific. I was like, man, you got the boring and the accounting part right. It was really good. But the point that I was driving in that video, and I'm the living example as this, and it's tough love, but it's just true. There are no such thing as boring topics, just boring speakers.
Hey, folks, Pastor Bob here. We're all out of time of today's portion of the interview with Brendan Kumarasamy. Now, I'm telling you, this is just part one of a two-part interview, and Brandon is one of the most memorable communication coaches I've ever heard or interviewed, and that's no exaggeration. His YouTube channel called Master Talk is a storehouse of valuable content that really every person needs to go and check out, even if you're not going to specialize in public speaking, because you're always going to be trying to influence someone, either at work or in your family, and you can use the tips he provides to propel you to a whole new level. Now, be sure to go down to the show notes, check out Brendan's YouTube channel called Master Talk. Subscribe, get in touch with him, ask him questions. You can tell he's a very personal guy that is very good at what he does, which is to make you a better speaker. Amen? And be sure to come back next time, because like I said, this is just part one of two parts. In the next episode, I'll actually let Brendan finish answering the question that we had to end on, where he said there are no boring talks, just boring speakers. Oh, amen. And when you hear how you, yes, you, can take what may be perceived by others as a boring talk and turn it into something memorable, something exciting, you will, well, let's just say you don't want to miss tomorrow's program. Amen. By the way, if you're starting a podcast of your own or want to make your podcast even better, Brendan's videos can help you do that as well. And you can also check out our training program, our podcast hosting platform, and how to put your podcast on worldwide Christian radio, all by going to podcastersforchrist.com. Until next time, this is Pastor Bob reminding you, be blessed in all that you do.
Are you a Christian entrepreneur, coach, or author with a message that needs to be heard? Picture this: your voice reaching thousands, your story inspiring hearts, and your business flourishing like never before. Introducing Faithcasters, the ultimate platform that connects faith-driven professionals like you with the power of podcasting. Become a sought-after guest on faith-based podcasts, share your unique insights, and connect with like-minded individuals who share your passion for faith and entrepreneurship as well. Imagine your expertise reaching a wider audience, expanding your network, and propelling your business to new heights. Well, it's all within reach with Faithcasters. So don't wait. Take the first step today on your journey to greatness by visiting our website at faithcaster.org. That's faithcaster.org. Join the Faithcasters community now and unleash the full potential of your faith-driven enterprise. You do not want to miss this opportunity. Faithcasters, where faith meets podcasting and your dreams become reality. Visit faithcaster.org. Let's soar together. And remember, anyone can be a podcaster, but only a Christian can become a faithcaster. Faithcasters, your voice, your platform, your success.